Good evening and welcome to Open Your Mind Radio. You have myself, Alan James.
Ah, myself, Stephen George. Good evening.
Good evening. It's Sunday, the 11th March, 2018, and we're going to have a packed show tonight. We have pages and pages of questions to be asked to Thomas and Kim, who are going to be coming on in the next few minutes. We're not even going to go through our normal questions and things that we normally read out. Well, we have a couple of things that we want to read out, but we're not going to do our normal format because we want to maximize the time that we have Thomas and Kim on the show because of all the questions that have come in from listeners. So we're going to get cracking, Steve. If you want to tell us what the communication channels are, and we'll get cracking.
Oh, well, indeed. We'll let Mary do her bit first, Mary.
The communication channels are email info@oymireland.com, by phone 046 927 1212, and you can also contact us direct through the OYM chat room.
Thanks very much, Mary. Yes, the OYM chat room can be found on oymradio.com. That is the website, and we have all the information and all the links there, and the podcasts and everything that you need for a fun-filled afternoon. The links there for the email address, which is, again, info@oymradio.com. Do send us an email if you want to let us know where you're tuning in from. That will be fantastic. We also have the links there for the Skype and the Twitter, and also for the anti-social media Facebook. We also have on the website there the link for TuneIn Radio application for your smartphone, your iPhone. We also can be found on Radio Garden.
Radio Garden, you got it.
RadioGarden.com is a website there. You can log on to loads of different radio stations around the globe, and we are on there. We also monitor people's internet radio chat room as well for questions for both of our guests this evening. And a big hi to everyone already logged into the chat room. You are all very welcome.
Cheers, Steve. Right, okay, before we bring Thomas from the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show, and Kim, Miss Mana, as people know her, is going to be coming on in a few minutes and going to be talking to us all about what's going on a global level. Just a couple of things. First, we had the United We Start Radio Marathon on yesterday. We all had a great round table, 2 hours. We had the CIA, Cody, who is a CIA asset and whistleblower. A very, very good show to tune into, guys. This guy, seen it done and has the t-shirt, and he was a paid asset by the CIA, and he was paid to do various naughty things in his time. And one of the things he did say at the end of the show, when you listen to it, is that him and a number of people like him are actually walking away and changing. And one of the things Thomas and Kim have said on previous shows is that there's a lot of people who are involved in the system are actually leaving and getting away from and changing, and he actually said the same thing, so that kind of confirms that. So if you haven't if you didn't tune in yesterday to the marathon, the podcast is up on unitedwestart.org. if you want to go over there and listen to that, we have five of us on the round table having a chat. Right, okay, now we do have a couple of things to talk about, but we want to bring Thomas and Kim in first because we want them to comment on the things that we're going to be talking about, and then we'll get into the questions. Good evening, Thomas and Kim, how are you?
Hi, welcome back.
Cheers. Thanks Thomas and Kim for coming on, much appreciated. We knew this was going to be a very big show. We've had people during the week sending in questions to the show and telling us that they're going to be looking forward to it. So we're not going to go, as I say, do our normal format because we want to maximise the time we have the two of you on the show. But there are a couple of things that we're going to talk about and mention, and we want to get your feedback on it. Now, Steve's going to kick us off with the first. There's only two articles. Steve's going to kick us off with the first article.
Yeah, this one's quite disturbing. It's from yournewswire.com, and it says, Catholic Archbishop says paedophilia is spiritual encounter with God. It says one of the highest ranking officials in the Catholic Church says sexually abused children can experience a spiritual encounter with God through the priest while being molested. Australia's most powerful clergy, Archbishop of Melbourne, Dennis Hart, says the Catholic practice of confession is satisfactory for dealing with paedophilia in the church as it helps priests absolve their own guilt after abusing children. Asked whether he was prepared to be jailed for failing to report child sex abuse by Catholic paedophile priests, Archbishop Hart confirmed he was willing to serve a prison term. He also claimed the right to cover for paedophiles in the church is an absolutely sacrosanct communication of a higher order. He made the shocking statement in response to the Australian Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse, which stated there should be no excuse, protection nor privilege for Catholic clergy who fail to alert police of the abuse within the church. But Archbishop Hart disagreed and insisted that sexual abuse was a spiritual encounter with God through the priest and was of a higher order than criminal law. That is absolutely sickening.
Isn't that incredible? Well, I think there might be a few priests that have a spiritual encounter with a baseball bat. Thomas and Kim, what do you think of that?
It's not surprising, is it? You know, these people have lied through their teeth from time immemorial. And eventually, this Catholic, it's crumbling already. And eventually, it's all going to collapse. But that's going to create a further issue, because the problem is too many people have invested their time and life into this religious structure. It's got nothing to do with spirituality or the benefiting people, and more to do with the control system and pollution and harvesting your energy and also your soul.
Yeah, definitely, Kim.
My opinion of it, obviously, I have a daughter, and I think it's disgusting, first of all. Second of all, there's nothing spiritual about it. There's a group that runs the Vatican that is about 10 floors down. They still are there. There's very few left now. They're disappearing at a rapid rate. This is the order that wears the black robes, and they're the ones that talk about all of this stuff. Their God is not the God that we know. It's a completely different entity. And I think that the harvesting of adrenal chrome has to stop. And that is what they're talking about when they're talking about this whole enlightening experience. It's a fear-based thing, which gets the children's adrenaline running, and then they harvest what's called adrenal chrome. And that's the pretense behind it. Adrenal chrome is, you can kind of Google it. There's very little information about it on the internet, but you can find little bits and pieces. It's something that the order injects into themselves and purportedly opens their third eye and all of this stuff, but that's probably a very long show for another day, but nonetheless, it has to stop. And it is stopping, and people are recognizing what's going on. And the protection of the sovereignty of the Holy See is no longer going to be there should they continue.
Yeah, well, we're seeing a big difference here in Ireland with the people walking away from the church, and especially with the Ryan report when all the abuse was exposed over here in Ireland. It was disgusting, and a lot of people just walked away. Which is good, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, personally, religion is control over the people. You know, it's nothing spiritual at all. Okay, and just something local news, but something that has to be said, because we always go on about the banks and how the banks are, you know, doing what they're doing and vulture funds and all that kind of stuff. But in the independent.ie, they mentioned, I don't know if the people have seen this article, central banks find major issues with car prize draws at many credit unions. Now, credit unions we used to call the poor man's bank. Nowadays, they're actually governed and controlled by the central bank, which that used to be the case years ago. But so they got all kind of official and upmarket. But they said that they also found that staff and directors have won the car in 30% of the prize draws operated. So the credit unions in Ireland offer a prize draw for the members. And if you're lucky, you might win a car. But what they're saying is 30% of the staff in the credit unions happen to win the car. That's quite convenient, isn't it? 30%, right? It comes after controversy at now defunct Rush Credit Union, when investigators were unable to find the winners of 15 car drawers, even though more than $220,000 was spent on the vehicles. There were claims that a staff member who has since left may have won a car in one of the draws run by the North Dublin County Dublin lender. Allegations were also made that some members of Rush Credit Union were entered into car drawers without their permission or their knowledge. Now, the central bank has probed the operation of card drawers as if we're going to rely on the central bank. Central bank looked at the card drawers by looking at the sample of 34 credit unions. In its survey, 276 credit unions, it found major issues around the governance of card drawers. Now, you can't, even the credit union, which is the poor man's bank, you can't even rely on them. And somebody's obviously 30% of the staff are getting the cards from the drawers. Anyway, there you go. So there you go. So there's the banks and the credit unions. Who's next? You know, I think putting your money under the mattress is probably going to be the best thing. Right. Let's get on. Let's get on with the questions now. Thomas, you've been on the show so many times. You're part of the furniture. Okay. So we're not even going to go down your route of your background because I think people know who you are and what you do, you know, by now.
Yeah. They even charge me rent now.
There you go. So what we'll do is, if we can get a 5-minute bio from Kim, for people who haven't heard of Kim or doesn't know anything about her background, and then what we'll do is we'll get on with the questions. So over to you, Kim.
Okay. Well, I am currently the trustee, custodian, and a number of other things for a trust which has been consolidated and now known as Mono World Holding Trust. It held many names previously, and it was administered by other groups of people until 2007 and formerly 2012. So once those agreements with those groups expired, I consolidated the trust, renamed it, and have set everything up for distribution. The people that were here before know that it was supposed to be distributed at the end of 2012, and they've refused. And, you know, they're still constantly blocking it from happening. a lot of recent developments within the trust, we no longer need them you know, as far as they're blocking anything that we're doing. So we're now in the distribution phase, and there's going to be a lot more to come in the next upcoming weeks. As far as my history is concerned, you know, there's a lot of different stories I've been told as to why I have this job. So I just kind of breeze over it because, you know, there's nothing, as far as I'm concerned, that, you know, is relevant to the job that I'm actually doing. And, you know, who knows who to believe what story, but that's pretty much my position at the moment. I'm very much looking forward to retiring as soon as this distribution is done, and I can go back to a normal life, I hope.
Okay. And well,
pretty much me.
As normal as it can be with the way things are going at the moment. And what about the likes? We might as well talk about the RV to put that to bed before we go any further. You might as well, either Kim, if you want to, or Thomas, if you want to, whoever knows a bit more about it, if you want to tell us why that hasn't happened and it's been going on for the last 25 years, because I see it time and time again on my Facebook feed and people sending emails going, it's going to happen Friday, it's coming Friday. Oh, no, it didn't come on Friday. Here it comes. It's going to come on Monday. So, you know, it's,
That's a game I like to call the tomorrow game, where, you know, they build a castle so big in your head. You know, and for the average person, it's a very big castle. You know, you're talking about billions and billions of dollars that each one of these repeat people have been promised. And some of them have been people like your former guest there, Cody, were paid in dinar. Lots of military people were paid in dinar and other potential currencies that we're going to reevaluate. Do I think that there will need to be a proper mathematical equation that will actually calculate the values of currencies? I do. Do I think that we need to return back to an asset-based trading system? I do. The difference between myself and the other group that's actually running the RV is they would like to control all the asset bases, and then they want to distribute these funds in what's called the non-ledger system. And they're trying to hold, of course, they're the ones that are on the system, right? So you would know better off than you were then. With a proper revaluation, countries gain their sovereignty and their independence and control, complete control over their own assets. that they can touch, taste, and feel. And then the value of their currency goes in accordance with their production or their GDP and the asset base of the nation. And then you form bilateral trade contracts between the two groups. There shouldn't be a case where you're issuing debt instruments to the point where you know the country will never pay it back or never could possibly pay it back. And why can't they? Because, well, all their assets have been stolen by a third-party entity, and they're just continuing to indebt the nation so they can gain more property. So I'm not a fan of the UN. I'm not a fan of the Paris Climate Control Treaty, which is actually a giant global heist of in-ground resources of nations. And, you know, that's the difference between myself and these other people. You know, and sometimes these people get so focused on, well, I need to cash in my currency, I need to do this, I need to do that, and then my life will be wonderful. Well, you know, it's not exactly put together that way currently.
Okay, well, I'm no expert on economics, but we had John Perkins on the show a few years ago, who wrote the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and he said that's the whole game. They asset strip the country, they give the money, knowing they can't pay it back, and then they go in and they asset strip the country. And this is exactly what's happening in Ireland at the moment. We're just giving away everything because obviously we can't pay the money back, and we're being taxed to the hilt. Okay, well, look, the RV, it's been going on.
The funny part about it, when it comes to Ireland, you know, just to speak of that, the asset base that was stripped by what's called Crown, and everybody thinks when I say Crown, I'm talking about the Queen, and I'm not. I'm actually talking about another corporation that was formed in 1666 in UK. They're the ones that took the assets originally. You see, and then they deposited them into the trust in order to get ridiculous sums of money out of the trust. Now, that is no longer, it has not been an option for them for a long time, but they didn't realize that come 2012 that they would not have any access to those assets that they stole before either. So they're all still sitting, but they knew if they didn't achieve their goal, whatever that was, by 2012, that the assets would be returned to the nation. So the illusion that you're in debt is just that, an illusion.
Thomas, do you want to jump in there?
Yeah. Basically, it's the same thing. But these people, the problem with the RV people, and Kim's done extensive work over the last few months, is to educate them. Because there's lies being told at every level, and this is why it's gone on for so long. You know, I guarantee you, if your prime minister sat in on this, he would learn stuff he wouldn't even comprehend. And it's just layer upon layer upon layer. So Kim's done a lot of work with the RV people and one of the guys known as Tank, you know, and they kept showing them the evidence. There's the evidence, there's the evidence. And then, of course, it was announced on the show last month where we put the codes up for a temporary time to prove they had the funds. And then we asked for their codes. And did they arrive? No, because they haven't got any. There is none. They've got no funds. And people find it difficult. How can the Rothschilds be bankrupt? Well, they owe the trust far too much, for one thing. And this is why the fire sale. There's nothing left. The RV has to be supported with an asset-based, not debt-based, asset-based. And they don't have the assets because they all now are under the control of the trust, and they're going to go be given back to the countries where they belong. Not Rothschild, Chinese old. Yeah.
Yeah, they donated it to the trust. And then all this money would come flooding out. And they never thought twice. There was always somebody who was running the show. It was never them. All they were the collectors or thieves, so to speak.
Yeah.
And they gave it to the other guy who used to be in my position. And once he got everything he wanted, which was basically everything, he cut them off.
Yeah.
So,
there's not even...
So they owe... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Tim. Go ahead, Kim.
They owe hundreds of trillions of dollars against assets that they're trying to repledge now in another system.
Okay.
Like the oil in the Middle East, all of these different things that they have going on. So.
And Thomas, as you said, yes, they might have the printing blocks to print money, but there's unique numbers which they don't have, because if they don't have their numbers, then the money is no value. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, again, this is something that Kim and the team have done, is to educate the governments, all 209, so that they're aware of what this money is, and not to allocate the code numbers that goes on these notes, whether it's dinars, whether it's pounds or euros, or the fiat US dollars.
Okay.
And so basically what was left after 2007, pretty much, which is why everything went pear-shaped with the economy, was the same money, and it's just been swilling around, apart from a few super notes that they put out, and a few other fun and games that they've tried to pull stunts on, and collect the money off the public as well via false flag events with all kinds of donations and Clinton foundations, you name it.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to get on with the questions, and we are going to, some of these questions are focusing on Ireland for obvious reasons, because we're in Ireland, because we have a good idea what's going on in the States. If you don't know the answer to these, that's fair enough. We just put them down, and people have asked them, and, you know, if you know,
we'll
them, if not.
So it's 1 point for every correct answer, isn't it?
We have we should have one of these machine things, you know.
Do we get a starter for 10?
Yeah. Well, you might get a cuddly toy at the end of it, you never know. Right, okay, fourth question is, and we can't understand what's going on here, the Irish government, Apple, as in Apple Computers, owe Ireland, owe the taxes of $13 billion, and their government is fighting Europe not to accept the $13 billion. What is going on? Would you know anything about it, either Kim or Thomas?
When you say their government, are you speaking of the United States?
No, the Irish government.
The Irish government.
Yeah.
Basically, there was a $13 billion payout that Apple owed the Irish government in taxes. Of course, there's Apple and Google based in Ireland, if memory serves me correctly. And then suddenly now, obviously there's people in Ireland are demanding that Apple pay the $13 billion taxes that they owe. And the Irish government is fighting in the European courts, is saying we don't want it.
Yeah,
it's fairly obvious. They don't want it because it belongs to the people. So what Kim probably be able to chime more on this. So what happens is they do private deals. This is why all these banks have been fined. Deutsche Bank has been fined billions. But have the people seen any of the money?
No.
No. So if it goes back into the treasury, or whatever it's called in Ireland, then the people can say, we want this funded, we want that funded.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of the reasons.
Kim?
And they do backdoor deals, and they go into private slush fund accounts and offshore accounts, and that's how they work it, for their own benefit.
Okay. And Kim, do you have any take on what's going on there with the $13 billion?
Well, number one, there are a lot of, there's talk about what you call big corporate, right?
Yeah.
It's a structure which exists underneath the order. And Apple is one of those companies. Well, they have deals, in the news, you see like NAFTA and all of these types of things that the American president is now trying to dissolve. And part of it is where they don't pay any tax for any of their imports or exports. And so now there's a two things going on. Number one, for some reason, Ireland and its independence has a lot to do with how much they have in their coffers, right? So the rejection of 13, was it billion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Everybody's waiting for the RV to take control over hauling ground resources. I don't know if you really know this, but you know, Ireland has a lot of in-ground resources.
Oh, we do. We're aware of the resources that were sold off to the Princess Beatrice or something of the Netherlands. They sold, and Ray Bourque, who went to jail in the 70s, he sold a lot of the assets that Ireland had. I mean, Ireland has billions of assets, but they've sold them off.
Well, you know, let's just say that I'm very well aware of the in-ground asset base in Ireland. They need you to stay in the Paris Climate Control Treaty. They need you not to have the capital to actually mine your own assets. But as of December 27, 2017, those agreements are gone.
Okay.
Now, if you look back into some of the pledges that were made between kingdoms, so to speak, back in the day, that all ended at the end of 2012. It was not a permanent pledge. It was a temporary pledge.
Okay.
So it was a long time. I mean, it was a few hundred years. I mean, it was a long time. But then they were given a 5-year extension, and that expired at the end of December 2017. So not only Ireland, but we're discussing Ireland for this purpose, but not only Ireland, but all of the African continent, all of the other countries which had pledged their gold, or somebody pledged it on their behalf under Crown or whichever entity it was pledged, now are supposed to have their asset base back.
Well, supposed to have. Mm.
Supposed to have.
Yeah. So this is kind of what's going on with the Paris Treaty. Remember, it was originally called the treaty, but then they found out that they can't do treaties at the UN because they're not sovereign. So then it changed to the agreement, and they changed the name a few times. And this is where people have to be aware when they start changing names, you know. And so part of the UN, who is still think they're wielding power when they don't have any. This is how they're changing the agreements and forcing countries into handing over all in-ground resources as a global climate. It's nothing to do with global climate. It's more control again. So then they can then create assets, future assets, which then can be leveraged.
Mm. Okay.
To get back in the game. But at the moment, they're not in the game.
Good.
So it's just an illusion.
Well, let's hope they stay out of the game. Right, we're going to we'll go, because we have like 3 pages of questions. We're going to fly them over to you, and then we'll see how we get on. Steve, you are taking number 2.
Number 2. Yes, I'm having a number 2 here. Mm. Not one banker in Ireland has gone to jail for laughing, Thomas. This is a serious question. Not one banker in Ireland has gone to jail for what they did in bankrupting the country. Have either of you got any inklings or any ideas as to why no one has actually been taken to task and seen the inside of a prison cell?
I think you'll find that won't last too long.
Well, I hope so, because we've seen in other countries where they have, like people who have done that, they have. Yeah.
Well, yeah, again, this is down to the work Kim and the team have done about educating each country as to what's real and what's not. You know, they've spoken to all 209 governments, and so they know what's going on. They know their countries are rich in real terms and not bankrupt like a joint now. And the banks are the same.
Yeah.
And once the top layer, which are now under attack, as we put forward in the last show, in the intel portion of the last show, the top echelon are now under heavy attack. The minions are all falling away.
Mm. Well, one of the things I've said before, Thomas, I think, and maybe Kim might verify this with yourself, that working in a corporate background, coming from a corporate background, the last people to find out if the company's going to go down the pan are the minions and the staff. the board of directors know, and when the staff start asking questions, the board go, oh, yeah, we're fine, yeah, we're doing fantastic. While they're making their exit plans to get out of the company, they're telling the staff that everything's okay. So hence why the minions are still doing what they're doing, because as far as they're concerned, they're being lied to and being told that everything's okay when it's not. Is that roughly what's going on, Kim?
Absolutely, that's what's going on. You know, hence my contacting some of these people and, you know, that run these blogs and whatnot for the RV, because I knew they're being lied to. And even if, you know, you got to remember something, these quote unquote elders and Chinese elders and royalty and whatnot, right, are all, they're all a part of the same groups that had codes for almost, you know, several hundred years, or well, in this case, I guess the computer systems and whatnot really started coming live in the 70s, late 70s. But they had access to all this stuff. And how much of it did any of you get?
Mm.
You know, the answer is none. So why do we want to give them access again?
Yeah.
You know, it's time for the people to actually do what the people are supposed to do. And so, you know, I could have had a much better life if I would just gave them codes and let everything resume. I'm sure they would have treated me much better than they treat me right now, I promise you. But, yeah. And I, you know, and I'm very well aware of, you know, Ireland, the Netherlands, Bank of England, all the things you're talking about.
Mm.
You know, and I have that information, and I can actually prove it to you. You know, a lot of times they registered, you know, in-ground assets as quote-unquote vaults.
Okay.
So there is a trace and a track to all of that stuff, and I have that data, just so you know.
Okay, well, the question has to be asked, right? What if this show, after tonight, this show was sent to politicians, Irish politicians, the judicial system, the police force? What would you be saying to them to kind of get them to kind of smarten up and wise up and tell them that the game is over? Now, there's going to be a level of ignorance by some politicians who don't know anything and are just institutionalized and playing the game. And then there's obviously a senior level who know what's going on and have their nose in the trough and everything else and doing what they're doing. So as a kind of, you know, an update on the system, the global system, and what's happening with the foundation and yourself, Kim and Thomas, and what the team are doing, what message would you say to them, to the Irish politicians, of what's coming down the line? What should they be starting to do now, or should they be aware that, like, you know, they need to get their act together?
Fly straight or face the consequences. Doesn't matter which group you refer to.
Okay.
Fly straight or face the consequences. We're not mucking about anymore. It's too important to move on and end the suffering globally. It's not just Ireland, it's suffering to every country.
Yeah.
And we're not mucking about anymore. They know, they've been warned, they've been given opportunities to step down, they've been given offers to come on board, and they basically, the top end, have told Kim and the team to go and F themselves, basically. So we're going to tell them the same. So these people, you're just propping up a system that's basically destroying every country. You are part of it. The fact is, now you know, it makes you complicit. The other excuse before, there was ignorance, you didn't know. Now you know, makes you complicit. So which way are you going to go? Are you going to fly straight and look after the people, or are you going to face the consequences?
Well, we always say knowledge gives you choice and ignorance doesn't. Will they be screaming ignorance and saying, well, we didn't know about this? I mean, you know, when we grow up as young people, we know what's right and we know what's wrong. And if we do something wrong, I suppose people will justify it, saying, well, we're doing it for the greater good of the people, even though it might be wrong. But the likes of what happened last Tuesday with the Vulture Funds and KBC Bank doing an eviction on somebody last Tuesday evening when we had this severe weather over here in Ireland. And they had thugs coming down and kicking people out of their home. I mean, these vulture funds have come over to Ireland and just literally destroyed the country. I mean, two serious suicides a day for a population of about 5 million. I mean, that's incredible. That's two, yeah. That's two aircrafts. That's two 747s a year crashing. I mean, if that was happening, there'd be an uproar. But for some reason, nobody's saying anything. So this is why it has to stop. Kim, can I get your take on, you know, what the politicians should be doing? I mean, if the foundation have been in touch with, I mean, have the foundation been in touch with any Irish politicians over here or anybody over here for that matter?
We have in the past had some contacts within Ireland. We were working with some groups that are all about freedom, and you know, we're still in touch with those groups. You know, on the political level, they just need to understand that when the Crown calls, there's no backbone behind it. Mm. So threats are not real. I would tell the national intelligence that they aren't owned by MI6, contrary to popular belief. They tried to come to America and tell America, the CIA, they owned them too, about 2 months ago. That didn't really work out too well. And I would also tell them that the bonds that they're purportedly in debt to the European Union with are not actually real. And I would tell them that if they send the trust message, we'll find out this week how to do that, we will actually return back all the liens or relinquish the liens off the in-ground asset base so they can start being a productive member of the union if they still choose to remain in the union. That's what I would tell them.
Okay. So you're in touch with various groups over here in Ireland. And there are a handful of politicians who are actually trying to make a difference. But the trouble is, because they're independent politicians, they've no power. They really no power. And the tentacles of all the mainstream parties are just everywhere, even down to local level. It's unreal. The level that these parties have infested local society and control.
Yeah, but then that comes down to the people's choice, doesn't it? Mm. This is this binary thinking again, where there's only two parties, and you forget you have your own choice.
Mm.
You know, if the people of Ireland all ignored the mainstream media, why you'd want people want to listen to that is beyond me. And decided, well, we're going to vote our own candidates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people say, you need money. Well, do you? You get the populace behind you. You don't need to create wars and have all kinds of nonsense.
Well, Thomas,
it's up to the people.
Well, I'm going to be cynical here because, you know the old saying, it's not the votes
yes,
that
I
count,
know.
It's the people that count the votes. Now, over here in Ireland, it's not like the UK. When the voting stops, the counting starts straight away. But over here in Ireland, guess what happens? The boxes go into the local police station and it's the next day they get counted. Now, if that's not an opportunity for something to happen or boxes go missing or changed around, well, then that's ideal. This is why, even if you say we'll have a voting system and vote a party in who might do something, we do have a party called Direct Democracy who are trying to bring in representative democracy, which is what our forefathers gave us in the 1919 Constitution, which is power to the people. Not only can we call a referendum if we want something changed, we get enough signatures, but we have recall, which means we can sack the politicians if they're not doing the job. That's what we want. Now, we had that in our Irish Constitution. It was very nicely taken out, quite convenient, because they didn't want people to have the power. Direct democracy, I was talking to Pat there a couple of weeks ago. Pat is the leader of Direct Democracy, and we're actually talking about this. And again, they lack funding to try and get the party up and running to at least be some kind of challenge to the mainstream parties. The whole idea of representative democracy is still quite new to people. So they're a bit sceptical because they're going, oh, here's another party. But they don't understand the whole idea that we're giving the power back to the people. But the voting system is the problem because they even have that sewn up.
Well, but what's to stop you from, picking 10 or 15 representatives, you know, very passive, not aggressive, and offering to happen to sit there with it all night long in shifts.
Well, what will happen is, it's gas how the Irish people are. Steve, you'll confirm this. You could have a road full of protesters, 500 people, and you'd have one guard at the end of the road going, ah, now, here now, 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 calm down, no, 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 none of that trouble. And everybody will just stand there and not do anything. And there'll be one guard there. I've seen it happen. Right? This is, yeah. You know, we're too laid back for our own good, I think, the Irish people.
Oh, well, you know.
It's same in most Western countries, not just Ireland.
Mm-hmm. So that's...
The people can do so much more. You know, you listen to my show regularly, and it's about empowering the people that to remember they have a voice. They've forgotten to use it. You know, and this little old me, and what can I do? Well, if everyone does something, it changes. They can't handle the people. They never could handle the people. That's why they have so much control. They can't handle the people.
Mm. Well, you know, if you're not being aggressive, how can they, you know, if they all go to the police stations in the evening or whatever, you know, if you're not an aggressive person, you're saying, you know, I'm a boater here. I just want to sit here and watch my boats while they're being counted. You're not touching anything. You're not being aggressive. Why would they say no?
Because that's what they do. They don't care. I mean, we had an issue today. It was actually in the newspaper where two guards came to a woman's house and asked her for her name. And she said, my name's Amy. Didn't ask her for her second name and said, we have a warrant for your arrest. Took her away. And she went into the police cell in the station and then ended up in the prison. And then at 10 o'clock at night, they realized that, oh, you're not the person that we're looking for. We're looking for Amy, whatever, but your name is something different. Now, this girl sued the police. But this is the incompetence you're talking about with the Gardaí. They don't care. They don't ask, well, by the way, what's your last name? Can you prove that? Thanks very much and go. This is what's happening over here in Ireland. It's just an old guard said to us through a contact that the whole idea of respect for the public has gone. They're looking for people that don't have any kind of morals. When they get into the guards, they want to. So, and some of the young guards want to drive cars fast and beat up people legally. This is what we've been told by a guard, and we've had ex-guards on the show here who are whistleblowers, and they basically try to destroy them, and they're trying to destroy a guard over here at the moment, Morris McCabe, I believe that's his name, Steve.
That's right, yeah.
And he's a whistleblower, and he's coming out and saying what's going on, and they're trying to destroy the guy. They even said, oh, you fiddled with your kids and all. I mean, seriously, this is the level of sickness they go to try and destroy people when they're standing up against the system. So, I'm just putting a spotlight on the bad stuff. There is good stuff coming on, coming down the line and things, doing good stuff. But this is what's going on. So the whole idea, Kim, and I understand where you're coming from, but unfortunately, Ireland has become, it's like a third world country, and the police are just doing what they do, and they don't care. I mean, we've videos online, if you go on YouTube and type Irish Gardaí, and you'll see instances of people just being a peaceful protest, is what you're talking about, a peaceful protest, and the guards just pulling them over and then, you know, being abusive to them, and nobody batting an eyelid, nobody saying anything.
But it's not just Ireland, I mean, that's
everywhere.
That's going on all
around
the world.
Everywhere, yeah.
Well, it's everywhere bar one country. Because they can't do it in America because people still have the guns.
Yeah.
And I'm not an advocate of guns. I've made that quite clear. But if we didn't have guns in America, this would be all over now.
Yeah, no, totally.
Actually, the weapons of violence, in essence, have saved us. Because they would have literally got their brown shirts and brown it's on and goose steps right through America. So this is why America's kind of the focal point, because it's the last one with the people with their own power. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people in this country who don't realize they have their own power, and that's what we're trying to break down that barrier.
Mm. Okay.
So that's what happens when you give your guns away. Or it's, you know, 80 million. I was talking about this today. The last four countries that gave the guns up, 80 million died within 5 years.
That's incredible. And that's why you're not to give the guns up. It's all a game. People need to realise it's all a game. Yeah. Steve?
Just speaking of guns, Thomas, I heard something on mainstream, actually. I'm not sure of the state. It could have been Florida. I'm not 100% sure. I can't remember. But I believe that the NRA are up in arms now because one of the states has increased the age to own a gun or a rifle. I think it was up to 21, and they're now trying to sue the NRA. The NRA is trying to sue the government in that state. Is that right?
Yeah, it's Florida.
Florida, yeah.
But that particular governor is corrupt as anything. Looks a bit like a reptilian as well, so.
really? Okay, question number two.
To me, briefly, I don't see the validity of giving somebody under the age of 21 a gun. Mm. I think that should be a law. That's just my opinion. Some people might say that's a bit fascist, but I don't think we should be given... But people are basically young children and developing into young adults carrying lethal weapons. That's just my opinion.
Exactly. I think the legal age for drink over there is 21. So I mean, if you can't drink under 21, you should not be allowed on a gun until you're 21.
Anyway. Do you want to take a next question there?
Yeah, okay. Next question on the list. Is there anything, this is obviously to both of you, is there anything that we and the people in Ireland can do to make a positive change in Ireland, anything at all? I mean, to you know, kind of get us in the right direction to where we need to be.
Follow your show.
Thanks very much. Bit of promo there.
You at least tried to get people to do the right thing. Mm. You know, and that's all you can do at the end of the day. It gets frustrating at times. I think the three of us, Kim as well, where you're looking at the behaviour of some of the people. You know, that bothers me more than the cabal. The cabal have a plan, where none of us agree with it, but at least they have something that they stand behind. And we have people playing games and messing around and apathy. And you think, we're spending all our time here trying to get people to do something to save themselves from themselves, and they're not, you know, but that's all you can do is encourage more people to step forward and speak out. That's the biggest thing, speak out.
Yeah.
For too long, all of us who have been involved in the alternative media have been silent, in essence, right through our lives. So,
Kim?
That would be my...
Well, you know, there's a misconception, in my opinion, of what a leader actually is. And you have to understand that, you know, government is government. You know, I don't know about you, but I would never want to be a politician. Never. I mean, I couldn't stand it. I'd rather be a kindergarten teacher to 1,000 kids a day than go do that job, because at least those kids make sense.
Yeah.
But you know, they have their basic needs, they got it all down, and you can file them all in a single line and take care of all those needs. But you know, in politics, it's just complete and total chaos. But what the people fail to understand is that a leader is a leader when people are following them, and it has nothing to do with politics whatsoever. You know, and I recognize the fact that, you know, the banks are corrupt. I recognize the fact that the governments have issues, and I recognize above their head is even more issues right now. And it's complete and total chaos. So, you know, you have these issues with the police. You have these issues with, you know, preying on the innocent. You have issues with, you know, poverty. You know, what is to stop you from organizing your own group that actually takes care of people? You know, everybody contributes, you know, one euro. I mean, it doesn't take a lot, you know, when you have a massive amount of people. Mm-hmm. And you can protect these people, neighborhood watches, all kinds of things. You know, this lady wouldn't have been picked up if there had been somebody she could actually call.
Yeah.
Say, well, this is not right. You know, and then you've got a group of people, everybody's cell phone has a camera and, you know, video camera and whatnot now on. You know, if there was somebody she could call, this wouldn't have happened.
Hmm.
You know, and go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, not to be aggressive, and I'm not saying that, like, things like protest and whatnot don't have an effect. But go on about your thing, right? Be that leader in your community and solve these issues yourselves, because it's very abundantly clear that if it doesn't have an effect on the people anymore, then the government's going to have to change. Because nobody's going to care what they're doing anymore. When all the people's basic needs are met, right? That was the whole purpose of Thomas's People's Club. Because when people are getting what it is they need, if they need a hand up, if they need groceries, what happened to those days when there was always a plumber in the neighborhood or there was always an electrician in the neighborhood? And if you had a problem and you didn't have the money to fix it, they'd come over and help you fix it and you'd make their family dinner or something. What happened to those days?
Yeah, them days are gone. Unfortunately, people are getting very isolated. And we have this technology and we have the internet and we have PlayStations. And yeah, I mean, you know, it does get isolation seems to be more common now. And, you know, people putting their dinners on Facebook and everything else. I mean, it's just years ago we had a sense of community and I think we all agree on that. But over time with technology and everything else, and that's really what they want. I mean, the smoking ban in Ireland started, I mean, when he started the smoking ban, the pubs, Ireland was the first country because the plan, which we've heard, was to stop people talking. So if you split them up and get them to go outside, then they stop talking to each other. So that's what the smoking ban was all about. It wasn't about the passive smoking in the pub.
That's... It's all nonsense, and it's people there. But, you know, people have their own interests. You know, I get a lot of flack if I mention pot in a bad way. People do what they want to do. But at the end of the day, when they bring out bigger items like banning smoking in public places, there's always a hidden agenda, like the Paris Climate Treaty Agreement, Pact, Plan, and whatever else the name they want to call it. There's always a hidden agenda, like the Patriot Act. It wasn't about protecting the American people. It was about organizing an agenda that they wanted. And it goes on and on. And the more you educate people into that reality ahead of time, and people go, you know what? We're going to do what we like. Mm. Within reason. You know, because it's always the people power, but too many go, well, I don't like smoking, so I'm glad. You know, lots of selfish attitudes.
Mm. Yeah, and I think
that
they have
that has to stop.
I think they have a law over here now that you can't smoke in the car now with kids.
That's right, yeah.
So it's getting, you know, George Orwell, 1984. Right, I've got another one.
But then if you got a few thousand people together who smoke to go through downtown Dublin every weekend smoking in the car, they're going to arrest everyone.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. With the people have the, we have the power. The people, you know, they're afraid of the people. And if we unite and get together, then that will make a change.
Yeah,
which happened over here with the water protests. I mean, there's 120,000 people went to Dublin and we marched. You know, now I'm not a big fan of marching because a lot of the time nothing ever happens. But it was great seeing the camaraderie. And everybody getting together. And Steve was there. You were there, Steve, on the day as well, weren't you?
I was, yeah. I mean, it was nice to see people stand up. It's a pity, like, more people wouldn't do the same for all the other, you know, issues that we're faced with.
Yeah, and this is what people need to do. But see, there is this kind of I'm okay, Jack attitude over here in Ireland, as in a lot of countries, I'm sure there is, where as long as I'm comfortable, I'm okay. And Bob Chapman, who passed away there, he was on a show a few years ago, and he says, you know, they won't do anything until they can't feed their kids. And by that time, it might be too late. And he, in a way, he's right, because people who don't have money can't rebel. You know, if you're
that's why you have the benefit system.
Yeah. If you're struggling to survive, you won't be rebelling because you're struggling to survive. And they just want to keep the people down all the time, keep them down. And that's and then while the 1% get what they want. Right, the next question we have here is from one of our listeners, JJ. And he said, would you ask Thomas or Kim, when may we expect major changes in the banks as their evictions of families from their homes? So all the evictions over here that's going on. Thank you, lads. Warm regards, JJ. So obviously the banking system and what's happening globally, there's a lot going on. Now, my understanding, and we've talked about this, Thomas, is that All the banks at the moment are all insolvent. They're using mirrored accounts. And the last thing they want to do is have a run on the bank when people realize that they have no money. So what they want to do is crash the system and then bring a new Babylonian monetary system in place and start again. Would I be right in saying that, or is that off target?
Yeah, pretty much. Kim will be able to explain deeper on the banking level, but that's what I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're trying to do. You know, as it relates to, you know, at least I can talk about the United States. The plan was written in 1975 to crash the United States and transfer power over to the China faction of the order. Well, it's got nothing to do with the Chinese government. It has to do with the faction of the order. That's how long this has been in play. In relation to the banks, remember something, okay? As the banks are depleted in assets, their liquidity ratio goes down, right? Okay. So the banks need an asset base to pledge to the central bank to then get more liquidity, or euro in your case, right?
Yeah.
Now, where are they going to get asset bases from?
Evictions.
There you go.
Not enough.
Yeah. That's why they're ramping it up.
It's a collateral. It's a collateral that the European Central Bank will recognize. And meanwhile, you're selling your country off piece by piece. But in a nutshell, they'll actually give them some euro against the REO asset base. That's why you're seeing all these crazy things that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, they're not following the letter of the law anymore because they can't. They don't have time. They don't have cash. They don't have any money.
Yeah.
And so in order to get cash, the European Central Bank is like, well, we need an asset. What are you going to give us, right?
Yeah, so basically the bunch of funds are coming over here. So either they're carrying out evictions of because they securitize a lot of property. So a lot of the time they don't own the property, they're just managing the property. So the bunch of funds are coming over. So they either take back the asset they want for people who are behind in the payments, or they'll sell off the properties that are not performing to the bunch of funds for pennies on the pound, because it's still cash. And you need some liquidity or cash to perform or to stay in business. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is
there's not enough. It's all been withered away and whittled away. The offshore accounts have been shut down. The slush funds have been found and reintegrated back into the trust where they belong. Like I said, they're swilling with the same amount of money. So all they're doing is transferring it backwards and forwards, and giving you the illusion there's plenty of funds when there is none. So they don't have the assets. That's why I've been saying for the last, 6 years now, that the RV is not going to take place, because there's not enough assets to support it. You need vast amounts of assets to support what they were doing. And also, there's a bail them out of debt. Not the people. It's not the people who are in debt. It's them.
Yeah. And of course, at the end of the day, you know, the whole financial reset and people talking about the reset in itself, not the RV, but a reset, a debt forgiveness. I mean, is that on the cards at all?
Well, go ahead, Thomas.
I'm not too sure whether that is. It may well go that way, because the people should be paid back in a certain way, and whether it comes through the trust, where it's people will get X amount per head, but it'll go into, instead of giving it individually, it's going to get done in humanitarian programs, so that everyone gets their share, you know. The idea, you know, there's been too many of these Nasaras and Jessaras and San Germain Trusts and all the other stuff promising, and OPPT, we're all getting $6 billion each. It's ridiculous. So we have to be a bit more clever. And there were certain things that I would like to see shut down. How they go about reducing people's debt. I imagine that's going to come from some sort of think tank group, because people have have to, on a base level, somewhere along the line, be paid back in a kind of certain controlled manner, and not like promising X millions and all this lot. Well, how that pans out, I don't know.
Well, your approach is bang on. I mean, logically, it makes sense. Given everybody 5 million or whatever in the bank account, really doesn't make sense, and that could have a major effect on society if you really think about it. But going through the humanitarian system and doing projects where you're helping people and creating employment that way, to me, logically makes sense, and it'll have a positive effect on the GDP of the country, because when people have money, they spend, and that obviously has a knock-on effect. So that all makes sense, but for people who probably don't understand how the monetary system works and the country works and the economics, then they probably just think, as I say, with the reset, that the money's going to come into the bank account. It's not going to happen. You'd have it.
Well,
it destroys.
I think probably the best explanation is Kim can explain the six transactions of funding and how and why the economy crashed. Kim?
Well, I'll give you as it relates to Nasera and Jasera and these types of things, I'll give you the quick 2 second version because I know you have a lot of questions. If you're driving down the road in a car at 120 miles an hour or 200 kilometers an hour, whatever, if your car goes that fast, and then you slam on the brakes and try to back it up, you know, the whole engine's going to fall out. And it's the same thing that would happen with the economy. How many people do you know that would go to work the next day?
Exactly.
If they all received $5 million? The answer is probably 2% of the people in the world, maybe 5%, actually like their job. And they would go to work anyway. They're actually in a job that they love, and that's what they want to do. Everybody else is not going to work. So you're not going to go to Starbucks and buy your coffee. You're not going to go get on the train. You're not going to, you know, all these things will stop. And then everybody will realize what a mistake it was. Hmm. So there is a manner in which it can be done, which will actually help the economy flourish. But it has to be done in the right way. Hmm. But this theory of, you know, millions of dollars coming out for people and they hang on to that tomorrow, it has to stop because it's destroying families. It's destroying their lives. These people that are involved in this are living in their cars, for crying out loud. You know?
And also Yeah, it's also an emotional roller coaster because that's affecting their health, affecting them from an energy point of view, because they're thinking, oh, it's going to come on Friday, and they're all kind of geeing themselves up, and then it doesn't come, and then they're down again. And
it's a giant psyop for the awake people.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. Bottom line, that's what it is.
Yeah, and that has to stop.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, part of the problem is they used to be 6 or 7 hands that the money changed through. But over time, it went from 6 or 7 hands where the money changed through down to 1 or 2. And so where they used to employ separate producers or manufacturers, they came under the corporate structure. So they basically what they've done, they've got put too many fingers in too many pies, and the money is not circulating the way it should do because it's all going back to the central order. So that's why they killed the entrepreneur, because that's then money into somebody else outside of their control.
Yeah, no, totally. And the more they do that, it's going to affect the economy. And that's why it's
so
important.
The key is to reverse that back.
Hmm. Yeah, and totally. And the people need to understand a little bit of economics. And that it has to be done on a gradual basis and over time. And by doing the humanitarian stuff, it makes sense. As you say, if people got 5 million each, how many people go to work, the whole society would be affected. But you can't do that. It'd have too much of an impact on society. So obviously that would have to be done that way. Right, over to Steve. You've got another question there, Steve.
Yeah, well, I would definitely not be going to work if I got 5 million. Well, not on the Monday. I might go in on the Tuesday, but definitely not on the Monday. We have some information. It says from the irishmirror.ie from Pat Flanagan. It says, Ireland is the most corrupt country in the Western world. I don't know if I would agree with that. He says, there are and will always be crooked cops, but to have a crooked police force, that's something else. So is Pat Flanagan saying that the whole police force in Ireland is corrupt?
Well, it's, look, there are good guards out there. There are good policemen, but they're, unfortunately, they're controlled and kept down. You have your John Wilsons and your Maurice McCabes who are seeing what's going on, and they're trying to whistleblow and come out and say what's going on, and they're just being shut down or attacked and abused by the system, because the 1% want to control the system, and they don't want to, you know, they're chucking their toys out of the pram because they're being exposed. And they like their lifestyle, and they don't want their lifestyle to be affected.
But I don't know if
that's the problem. Part of the problem with the police, I presume it applies in Ireland as well, is in the UK they're all Freemasons, so they're assigned to protect the Brotherhood, and this is where it then. So anyone wanting to step out of line in that, you pay the heavy price.
Mm.
And it's that I fear again. All it takes is a group to go, you know what? We're not doing this anymore. It's the same with the soldiers in Afghanistan. Why are they there? They're not there for Bin Laden. You know, he died 17 years ago. No, they're there to protect the poppy fields, which are now going on fire.
Yeah.
only it takes a group of them to say, we're not playing your game anymore. Well, if everyone does it, the problem is it's only the few who have the courage to do it. Mm-hmm. It needs people to gain a lot more courage on all levels.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I did the piece on Thursday about fear. A lot of it's not fear of the cabal, a lot of it's a fear of ourselves.
Mm. No, I totally agree. Cody, who was the CIA asset and whistleblower with the CIA, who was on the show on United We Start yesterday, said that he walked away. He was in it purely for the money, because I asked, what about your moral compass? And he said, look, I was a young guy, I was in it for the money. He was getting $20,000 a month, you know, he was on call. But now he's got all spiritual and walking away, and other people are as well. But he said that according to his contacts, the military, he said, that something seems to be going on. The military seem to be in a state of readiness, but he doesn't know what it is. And I don't know whether you guys know, Kim and Thomas, and if you can, whether you can say anything.
I would say not at this time.
Not at this moment in time. Kim?
Well, two things. Number one, you know, from my context there, they're basically saying that there is a conflict at the top, with the top brass, between those that are waiting to get paid on the RV. You know, they too got paid money, but when the cabal ran out of money, right, now they're paying in dinar and zim and dongs and whatever else. And you know, all these people were promised that this was going to be worth something. So they did the deeds, just like your Mr. Cody, except now they're left holding the bag, and they really didn't get paid. So there's a little bit of a conflict between those that still believe they're going to get paid someday and those that know that it's not true. Mm. And it's causing a big conflict in the military. The other thing is that you have two executive orders that came out in the United States in regards to military tribunal, whereby if you're blocking foreign assets from coming into the country, this was actually sparked by something that the trust did about 2 weeks ago, where we pulled, transferred money into the country, and two ex-military officers with fake FBI badges stormed into the bank, tried to take control over the terminal and steal the money and send it to a known party, the name you would know from the news. And that didn't really work out that well. But, you know, they did manage to stop that particular transfer. But it was basically the shot that was heard around the world, because everybody knows, A, the trust can transfer funds, and B, where they were going to try to send it to. You know, it led the entire government to see that, you know, what these people are saying about all these trillions of dollars and whatnot, you know, it's just not true. So I definitely think that there's a conflict. There are a lot of good men and women in our military in the United States that that are recognizing what's going on here and are prepared to fight back and to support their commander in chief. In the UK, you have an issue with GCHQ, whereby an ex-American presidential candidate was over there in October, November, and placed an order for something to happen. And that something did happen in a sandy place. And they were promised that they would get paid a lot of money for doing that, a few hundred billion dollars. And that money never came. So, you know, before where there was some allegiance and alliance with, you know, MI6 and MI5 and GCHQ with this group, you know, the people now are, you know, they're trying to collect. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want all of GCHQ after me. So they have a little bit of a problem now. And that's fine. The other thing you have to take a look at, too, is, you know, Five Eyes, which is actually really Nine Eyes. It's not really Five Eyes, is crashing.
It started about a week or so ago. Okay. Which is surveillance.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Steve, you've got the next question there.
Yeah, this one came in during the week, and it says, Dear Alan and Steve, my name is Tor, and I'm a regular listener from Norway. I hope it's possible to get these questions asked on the show. Number one, question one, Tolek has recently published two shows with a certain Mr. and Mrs. M, where some of the message is along the same lines as the Mana Foundation. Does Miss Mana, Kim, know these two people, and are they working alongside with the foundation?
I do know who they are. I have met these people in the past in person. To answer your question, we disagree and parted ways a long time ago. So now they're doing radio shows and regurgitating what Thomas says on his show.
Okay, so they're just acting as repeaters. They're not involved now with the foundation.
No, they. I'll just be nice. They're waiting for the Chinese elders to fund the RV.
Okay.
So they're going down the RV route, and which you know that we know it's not going to happen. Okay.
Right. Number two, Miss Mana, Kim, said in a recent Truth, Honor and Integrity show that the information on the foundation, its purpose and aim has been presented to all the nations of the world. I then assume that the message has been presented to Norway. Is it possible to say something about what governmental level this message has been presented and what the what the response was?
At this moment in time, we expect a further communication by Thursday of this week. The issue that Norway has right now is Rothschild intends to make that their home base, and they are have obligated all their in-ground resources to the RV. A lot of oil that's been going on for the last, that was signed off on a couple years ago. And Norway hasn't received anything for their sign-off on their in-ground resources. Number two, they had an intention of making NATO, which obviously we know where the current head of NATO is, their private army. So, you know, we're having some talks and some negotiations, possible solutions, that type of thing. I think they'll probably continue around Thursday of this week.
Okay, Thomas, have you anything to add?
No, I agree with that. Norway has become kind of a hotbed with the NATO crew and certain elements of Langley. And these are the old people who seem to still think that Russia needs to be taken out. That thought process should have ended with World War II, but these people just carry on. And there's, it's not going to work. There's like I said, there's too many eyes and too many ears everywhere now. And they're making all kinds of threats, and none of them are coming through. They may do smaller events like the Parkland, Florida school incident. But too many now know the truth because of the work that Kim and the team have done with all governments. You know, there's still going to be, there's a lot of disbelief because it's barely believable. The depth of it is extraordinary. You'd spend decades learning of the system. And so all they've got left now is it's clear now that the fact that the RV hasn't been administered when they desperately needed to, they haven't got the assets to support it. It's game up.
Okay. Steve.
Right. And the last question from Tor is, it seems to me that the government leaders of my country are very willing to follow orders from the deeper power structure of the world. How does Kim look at the level of understanding in the country of Norway and also the Nordic countries, Sweden, Denmark and Finland, with regards to insight into the true state of the world?
Well, I do agree with you that right now they seem to be willing to listen a lot. There was even talk of making Bitcoin, which is a Rothschild creation, the currency of Norway. You know, bear in mind that this was only a few weeks ago. Bear in mind that the country itself is not bad, right? And all of the politicians are not bad. But they always, you know, their comment always has been, if I control a country's financial system, I need not care who makes its laws. Mm. And that's the one, you know, it's all over the internet. You can read it. Rockefeller made the statement. Rothschild made the statement. So remember what they've purportedly taken from Norway. So they did the same in Denmark. You know, with all the signing off of all the in-ground oil assets of the countries. And this all is your RV. So, you know, I think that some countries are more affected by what it is they're doing than others, namely countries that have a lot of, you know, one group is feverishly going after oil. You know, other groups are going after other types of in-ground assets from other countries. And if you look at the, there's a reason, there's always a reason why they're going after Russia. And the main reason why they're going after Russia, hence Norway is very, in Finland are very convenient locations, Latvia, is because Russia has enough in-ground resources to support the GDP of the planet.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, and it's easier to take one country than it is to take them all, right?
But then Putin and Russia are quite strong as a country, so that would be a bad mistake to do that.
Well, Russia is the most heavily attacked country on planet Earth throughout all of history, and there's a definitive reason for that. You know, this stuff has been going on for thousands of years. This is not a new thing that they're doing. The thing that is new is that we have a lot of technologies now, irrespective of all the surveillance and the censorship and all of these things. I mean, we're having this radio show now that wouldn't have been possible 20 years ago. Hmm. So this cookie cutter process that, you know, Cody was talking about on your show, where they drain all the assets out of the country, then they, you know, then they take control over their currency and all their in-ground assets at the same time. And, you know, and then decide by some mathematical equation that does not exist of what their currency is going to be worth. And should they get out of line, you know, overnight, the value of their currency will drop by 20%, you know, which obviously hurts their, you know, import-export. So, you know, they've always used, since the advent of currency in the late 1500s in Spain, that was where it started, they've always used currencies to manipulate countries. So,
okay. Right, the next question, because I know we have a couple of questions here, and then we've a plethora of questions that have come in on the show, so we'll try and get through them. This is from Matt, who's involved in one of the hosts on the United We Start, and we had a chat, and he has a question because he's kind of saying, well, Kim and Thomas and the foundation, are they just like a small group of people who are hoping that something's going to happen, or like, you know, because I told them about the declaration on January 27th and then the State of the Union address where Trump said America rather than the United States of America. So his question is, here's my question for Thomas and your guest, Kim. My belief is that to return to the original form of government as intended by the original constitution, this is America, by the way, we would have to rescind the Act of 1971, which created the Corporation of the United States. How does your guest propose to accomplish this?
Well, first of all, you know, everybody is under the impression that the Corporation of the United States had anything to do with the government. They're two separate entities that did two separate things. You know, your corporation was actually formed because it could be government. They outlawed governments being able to trade, meaning buying and selling of bonds other than its own treasury notes. And they were, of course, always the buyer of treasury notes, therefore holding all the debt of the nation or the majority of debt of the nation. So in the United States, you have the corporation, which collected bonds against citizens and future tax payments, and the IRS is a collection agency for the coupons on those bonds. Bottom line, that's how it was structured. So the people that ran the corporation was never the president. It was always the, what you call the deep state. So this is your other groups. Now the corporation, in infinite agreement under corporate law, is 99 years. And the corporation was a Delaware corporation. You can go to the Delaware Corporation website and look it up for yourself. It was a Delaware corporation, and it was actually formed in, I think it was 1911, if I recall correctly. So that agreement for them to be a liaison for sending money through to what's called the Ways and Means Committee in the United States is over. Therefore, the trust note has not been buying those bonds virtually for over 10 years now. And not only that, there's no money coming out for the program. The program was initially intended to the whole purpose behind forming the corporation and buying of the bonds and whatnot was actually to fund socio-humanitarian federal and state programs such as your Social Security, your Medicare, if you look what the Ways and Means Committee does online in America, you'll understand that it was meant to fund these programs for the benefit of the citizens. Now, is the controllers of the IRS and the Inc. part, yes, they're still collecting and stealing tax money from the United States. Do they have the right to do that any longer? No. Has the U.S. government ever gotten taxes since the time that that corporation was formed? Yes, but through them. So this whole pass-through thing is an illusion. It is not, it doesn't even make any economic sense. So the taxes are collected by the quote-unquote IRS and the quote-unquote government, right? Mm-hmm. And they are then passed through Rothschild and the deep state, and then they get put back to the government for its budget. And you know, the problem with the whole program and the reason why the program went defunct and it wasn't renewed is because about 10% of that money was actually coming back to the government. Mm-hmm. And then they were taking it offshore to a place we call Hong Kong and trading against that money and then giving it back to the government months later. So the actual disbursements used to take place on the 4th of July every year. And the budget wasn't actually done until September. So that gave them months to trade against those treasury notes and to trade against all of these tax collections and whatnot before they actually had to disperse a dime to the government. So they were getting 100 to 1,000 times leverage against these assets and cash before it actually hit back to the government. And that was their siphon, one of their siphons.
I'm not going to even pretend to try and understand the economics of what went on, but it sounds, 10% of the GDP or the tax collected by the IRS going to the government, and obviously the rest being funneled and used for black projects and everything else. Again, I suppose 9/11.
Political control.
Yeah. When Donald Rumsfeld turned around and said that $2.3 trillion had gone missing or on the weekend before the 9/11, how can some funds like that go missing? They don't go missing. Black projects and politicians.
There's actually for the last count anyway. There's $23.5 trillion missing.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I hope they check the back down behind the couch. There's always money down there somewhere. You know? Right, Steve.
That must be a big house.
Yeah, it must be a big couch. Yeah, very big couch. Steve, you got another question there?
I do indeed. This is from Declan. Declan says, I'm looking forward to the show with Thomas and Kim. I have a question for Kim. Now that Kim is in control of Mana World Holding Trust, will there be funds made available for individuals and groups who are involved in alternative media, truth tellers and researchers, filmmakers that are honest with no hidden agenda? He says, the true history of the world and who we really are needs to be told to all the people of the world, no matter how bad the truth is. No more BS and fairy tale stories. Thank you, from Declan.
There is a part of the fund that at one point in time we were working with a group of people, very old group of people out of the UK, based out of UK, who were custodians. And I still have contact with these people and we will continue to work with them, but their whole agenda was basically to bring out the appropriate artifacts with the right story. Now, the trust has vast amounts of artifacts that will tell the right story at the right time. There's lots of things, you know, that you see mentioned in, you know, certain religions and whatnot that should be that should be released. The only only thing about it is how to do it and when to do it, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to progress humanity, not make humanity angry. And a lot of it does make you very angry. I mean, there have been many times that, you know, what do you say, throw the toys out of the pram? I throw a lot of toys out of a lot of prams. The more I find out, go down this road, you know. So yes, there is a fund to do that. You know, I'm a big promoter of people that are motivating and other people to do something positive for humanity. You know, yelling at all the people we see on the news is a nice, you know, way to vent your frustration, but you're never going to move. You know, you can't open a door by yelling at the doorknob.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You can sit there and yell at it all you want. It's not going to move. The door's not going to open. Nothing's going to happen. It takes somebody to physically take the knob and twist it and open it. And that's what we want humanity to do.
Yeah.
They need to realize their potential, you know, and realize it's all about technologies. It's all about progressing. It's all about, you know, people living a good life with their families. You know, not everybody wants to be the leader of the world, right? And not everybody wants to be a president. You know, some people just want to have a good life with their family. you know, have a nice home to live in that they actually own. They work a good day for a good day's pay. Mm. And that's what has prevented, you know, humanity from moving forward. And they all know it, because at a whim, you know, they can decide, oh, the price of wheat is going up, you know, $1,000 or something like that. And before you know it, a box of cereal is going to cost you $50. You know, the trickle down effect by controlling the country's financial system is beyond your, you know, most people's comprehension, just about how they control the food sources, how they control the water sources, how they control the electric power, how they do all of these things. And it's all owned by the same people.
Yeah.
Well, so there's a top level thing that has to take place and a bottom level thing that has to take place. But the bottom level thing is the people need to understand, you know, government doesn't control your life. As long as you're working within the letter of the law, meaning you're not shooting people in the head, you're not doing all of these things that, you know, we're not supposed to do. We know this by nature, right?
Common law.
It feels wrong when we're doing it. It feels wrong when we're doing it. You know, there's nothing stopping the people from progressing. Yeah. Now, what's stopping us, we're dealing with, which is, you know, if the cabal controls the banks, it's not the bank itself. They don't even have stock in it anymore. It's the human perception when a phone call is made by some person with a special last name, or they even lie, you know, as is in the case that was 2 weeks ago when we actually moved money and it was going into an account of a United States veteran for her project. Mm. That's where it was going. And two purported people who were ex-military of some sort rock in with FBI. Where'd they get the fake badges from? But do the banks know that they're fake badges? Does anybody bother to call? Mm. No, nobody bothers to call. They just see, you know, I mean, I could go down to the toy store and pick up a badge and say, hey, I'm FBI, and everybody's going to believe me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how much fear we have, you know, and nobody wants to lose their job. That's their bread and butter. That's their family's, you know, how their family lives, and I understand that. But this process here, we are fixing. So the only thing that's really holding anything back from getting to the people is actually the human beings that work in the bank. And they control the pinch points of the bank, knowing how transfers are made. And within the next 2 weeks, we will have this problem solved one way or another, because the people aren't going to take it anymore, and neither are the militaries, and neither are the agency people. So everybody's working towards that goal.
Yeah, it was funny you should say that, Kim, because I went into the bank there last week, and people will know this over here in Ireland, that the teller was closed. And I went in about 2 o'clock, and they said, oh, yeah, no, we don't open till 12:30. And I said, what's the point in having a bank account? And where's your customer service? And I mean, obviously this is all done for good reasons, but look, we won't go down that road because I'm watching the time and we have more questions coming in. But two things that we need to, I want to try and cover. One is, I do get kind of pessimistic about people getting involved and doing things. And I've said this to Thomas time and time again. I said, maybe the reset should be done on the planet and we start again, because there's so many people that, even though so many people have woken up to what's going on, there's still so many people who just don't get it. And I sit back and I think, is it ever going to change? Sometimes, you know, there's days that you come across people and you think, is it ever going to change? But that's just my opinion. I think the reset should be done, unless, you know, there is a possibility of it happening, but I don't know. But the one thing that is more promising, and Thomas, you've kind of hinted at it on your show, and I don't know whether Kim wants to comment on it as well, if she knows anything about it, is the fact of New Earth. Because this, all the QHHT, regressional hypnotherapists on the internet now, there's quite a few of them. Dolores Cannon, we passed away, but she mentioned it, and there's a hell of a lot more people. And other people just coming in, getting information from whatever sources they're getting, are all saying about this new earth that's happening, that's going to be taking place, or it's happening. Now, we have a lady on next week, apparently, who's going to be talking about it on the show. And this thing next week, apparently the 18th to 19th, there's supposed to be some kind of solar flare or energy wave supposed to be hitting the planet, which might have an effect of the on the energies. I don't know if you have heard about that, and if you want to comment, I'll ask you. Go off to you, Thomas.
That's more for you. The New Earth. Many have seen it. Many have discussed it. From what I understand, anyway, it's not even in this universe. It's kind of a backup. What I understand is with the reset that people spoke about, and in fact, I did a show on it about 3 or 4 years ago. It was a possibility that the whole planet was going to get reset because it was too corrupted.
Yeah.
As I understand it now, the reset will take place with the people in place.
Okay.
So the interference elements have been routed in so many ways on so many levels. There's been a lot of external interference here, and the work that the certain teams have done have negotiated and dealt with and corrected and educated enough where certain ones who used to be enemies are now allies. And that's happened on all levels, not just on an ET source level. It's happening on the surface level, and it's happening below our feet also. Mm. There's entities that were not beneficial to us who are now suddenly helping. And this is... a reset in itself is that people and beings are now realizing something has to change. Something's not right here. It never has been right, and it's been corrupted for far too long. And there's a common desire to push things forward in a better way for the beneficial of all. Part of the problem, from my understanding, is there was a number of races, 24, who had interfered here genetically, and so they thought by that ruling that they had control because they'd infused their genetics. Well, again, that's no longer the case either. And humanity has an opportunity now to, without interference, so-called saviors coming in, when the savior is ourselves. And we have to get it right. It's going to take a lot of work by everybody.
Mm.
Not just me or Kim or yourselves. Everybody's involved because everyone has an interest in it. You can't keep sitting back waiting for saviors. People have been waiting for Jesus to come and save them for the last 2,000 years. That hasn't worked out well, has it? or the Lord coming to save them. Again, it's not worked out well. The Lord came to save them 16,500 years ago, and I'll tell you, that didn't work out very well.
Yeah. Okay, Kim, what's your take on the reset and the new earth?
Well, you know, like I told you, I wear a lot of hats, right?
Yeah.
So I know a lot of groups of people, and you know, at a time ago, they thought it was going to be the only option. Now there's actually a hope that we are going to turn this ship around. I am aware of this other place, very well aware of this other place. The plan that was put in place was basically it had nothing to do with saving of humanity, just so you know. They had genetically identified some people on the planet that they thought had enough. You know, if you've ever seen that movie, the latest Divergent movie, it's called Allegiant.
Okay.
If you haven't, watch it. Okay, because yeah. What they've done is they've identified the DNA, what they deem to be the appropriate DNA, or the enough people with enough correct, whatever they deem correct DNA. And these are the only people that were going to be going.
Oh.
And it was only, it's really not that many. It was a few hundred people.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then they were going to start over.
Okay.
So DNA is not necessarily, I mean, yes, of course, you've got the DNA of your mother and your father or whatnot, but there's anomalies that pop up. And in the movie Allegiant, it's kind of explained that this girl had the most amount of pure DNA, you know, that they had found a date and their experiment had worked, and, you know, she could do all these things that all the others couldn't do, and, you know, made her this special person. And then they went to the council and said, oh, this is the girl with the most DNA and whatnot. And, but anyway, the point is that, yeah, that was the actual program. And that was not devised by people that are our friends at all. The intention of these other people have always been the same. Again, the, you know, controllers, the ones, you know, as deep states and whatnot, you know, they always had a boss, you know, and they're so egotistical, they couldn't fathom the fact that they were nothing more than head slaves. They were collectors of resources. Once they got humanity to give them everything we had, they dumped them like a hot potato. Mm. They're not getting any help. No one's coming to pick them up. No one's coming to save these people. They could care less if they live, breathe, or die. You know, they yeah. basically got the legal title to the entire planet's resources. That's what they got. But they just didn't count on somebody else figuring it out.
Okay. So
he's dead. Yeah. He's gone now. Dead.
Okay. So what is going to happen with the new Earth? I mean, is there anything going to happen at all? Because obviously there is this belief about the, you know, people who are service to others and all that kind of stuff, who have the right intention or have the right energy or vibrate on the right, you know, resonate on the right frequency, that they would probably be the people that are going over to the new Earth, where the other people who are negative and have lower vibrations and selfish and all this, you know, they'll be staying where they are and mixing amongst others who are the same.
Well, again, the plan, okay, the whole place is terraformed for a few people. And then those few people, they thought, would have the right genetic makeup to create a better society. Now, on the other hand, you know, here's what I have a problem with. Okay, let's be honest with each other here. We have totally screwed this planet. Mm. I mean, we have oil leaking everywhere. We're poisoning our water. We're poisoning our people. Everything's been poisoned, and it's all coming from the same source.
Yeah.
Why don't we get rid of that source and then fix the place? Mm. We're smart. Yeah. You know, humanity is not stupid. We have thousands of fantastic scientists that have not been able to utilize the technologies that they created, specifically because these other people don't want them to.
You know,
what exactly is a harvest and what exactly are you harvesting?
Yeah.
Right? Mm. A harvest is when you're collecting your crops, right?
Yeah.
For sale at the market. Well, what do you think these people are doing to us?
Mm.
You know, don't fool yourself to thinking that these people are your friends. They are not your friends. I know those people. I used to talk to those people every single day for 3 freaking years until I finally figured it out. So I'm telling you, you know, it's just like you tell your kids, right? Just because you've messed something up, you don't get to just burn it, right?
Mm.
And start all over again. You need to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have some accountability as to what we did here. Maybe we didn't cause the problem, but we certainly have the solution amongst all of us, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we just fix it?
Well, that'd be great. I mean, I'm sure there's people there. Out there who are willing to do it and get involved. But we need, you know, I've said before on the show, you know, when you're up against an enemy and they're using guns and you're using bow and arrows, the fight is unfair. And we're not asking for anybody to come and save us, but we are asking to give us the weaponry to make it a fair fight. And that's the problem. They have, well, we up to a while ago, they had the wealth and the resources and the funds and the contacts and all that kind of stuff. And the people obviously in the truth movement or the alternative movement have nothing, you know, and obviously most people are struggling financially. But we have the moral compass to do something, at least do a radio show and get involved and do it as much as we can do. But I know there's a lot of people out there in the alternative media who want to do more, but don't have resources and feel frustrated because of it. Now, I know the foundation is coming online, and hopefully when you do sort out the financial system that these humanitarian projects will be funded, which is great, but are we talking 2 months? Are we talking 2 years? Are we talking 10 years?
2 weeks. No, I'm just kidding, Thomas.
Oh, don't, hang on. Don't you start. I've already had that from Thomas.
2 weeks.
Well, you know, the more people that understand what's going on, the more people that can help. And you don't need to be a person with a gun, and you don't need to be, you know, Rambo, and you don't need to be all these things. Hmm. You know, everybody has something they can bring to the table. You know, the people that sit here and say, okay, well, you know, the RV is going next week and whatever, you know, what is everybody doing? How is this? Who the hell are these people? Right. Mm. Sorry to swear. Who are these people? Where are they coming from? Well, they have no name. They're just the elders. Okay. Well, who are the elders? Do they have a name? I have a name. You have a name. We all have a name, right? I mean, yeah. Why aren't they saying, you know, what's going on?
Mm.
You know, where are the, so, the whole purpose behind talking to these people that are involved with the RV wasn't to sway them or even try to take their currency or take their money or to do anything like that. I'm just like, look, now we have 100 people that are going to banks virtually every single day. Now they're seeing firsthand in front of their face what happens. And they're all coming up with different plans to get around it. Now we're cooking, right? Mm. It's not me that's doing anything. I do my part, but I'm not the end all be all. I'm not the second coming. I'm not any of these things. I'm just a person.
Mm.
So now these people are actually getting involved. They're going to the bank. They're trying to get their money. They're trying to do all of these things. And we have had some success over the last 2 weeks. We have had a lot of success. Right now, I have over $100 million sitting in several different banking institutions, and the banks aren't posting it to the account. It's been there for 4 days. You know, so I tried something different. Now I'm going to try another thing this week, and we will get that money through. But the entire United States government, all the way to the president, is staring at it.
Yeah.
And they asked them just to hold it till Monday. Now, why are they holding it until Monday? Because everybody, these people are telling, because the RV is going to happen on Monday.
Unbelievable.
That's why.
Yeah.
We do this thing every week. And now the RV is not going to happen on Monday. The IMF is not announcing the gold standard on Monday because there isn't enough gold in the world to support, you know, God, how much currency is out there in this RV? You know, just with these couple little countries, I think it's like quadrillions.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, we need another whole planet for that.
And there's a lot of people going with the dings and the dongs and the bongs and everything else, and they're thinking that they're going to be cashing in. And I said, just use a monopoly money, a wallpaper, because it's not going to be worth anything.
No.
Well, and I feel bad for the average everyday Joe that put their life savings into this stuff, which might even be only a few thousand dollars. And I'm sure we can probably try to work something out with the governments as far as an immunity for a short period of time to at least make these people whole, because it's not their fault.
Mm.
It was the biggest Ponzi scheme in history. It makes Bernie Madoff look like a, you know, little schoolgirl. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. The right. So we have we're going to extend the show, and we've only done this once before. And if you guys don't mind, we're going to extend the show till 9:30. Because we have loads of questions that have come in, and we're going to quick fire them questions over to you.
Okay,
and then you just go through them, because we know this show is very important and people have a lot of questions, and we're going to try and get through the questions as much as we can. Now, I will say John Irwin has a great saying. He said the three things he says is why, what for, and prove it. Okay,
so that's, I agree,
and that's John. John comes on. He's a good guy. He was in special forces. He says, I'm not a super soldier. Don't call me super soldier. I'm not a super soldier. But he was in special forces. And he said, basically he said, why, what for, and prove it. So if anybody's saying anything, ask them why, what's it for, and prove it. Which is, you know, which is a good way to look at things. Now, Steve, you have all the questions there. So Steve is typing away. And they've come in from the chat room. So I'm going to pass it off to you, Steve, and we'll quick fire them over there.
Yeah, lots of questions, actually. A lot of interest, I have to say, which is good because, as you said, it is an important, it's an important show. It's one of those kind of groundbreaking shows that doesn't come along very often, but when it does, yeah, you kind of have to, you have to roll over. But anyway, we'll kick off the questions. The captain on People's Internet Radio, he says, am I getting this right? There is a massive fund of money sloshing around somewhere that is going to be released to the people. Kim, can you just give the captain some information on that?
It is cash and assets. They are allocations, new allocations of that were issued over the years. It's been accumulating digitally. The digital part of it, or digital cash, has been accumulating since 1978. The physical assets were collected over periods of thousands of years. And yes, it was all collected by one man who is now no longer here. So my goal is to get it distributed and retire, because I now sit in that man's seat.
Okay.
So that's.
And you
but it
will,
has to be done in the right manner.
And you will distribute that through the humanitarian projects, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Right, Steve.
Okay.
There's no ownership by us.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Just in relation to a reset, the captain is also wondering, who's going to do this reset?
Obviously, are we talking about financial or global? Well, the global's not going to happen.
Well,
so is it financial?
About a financial reset, yeah. I mean, is it going to happen? And if so, who's going to do it? And obviously the question is, we're not going to look for dates, but I mean, you know, will it be in our lifetime? More to the point.
It will be it will be in our lifetime. Oh, go ahead, Thomas. I'll let you answer.
No, carry on.
It will be in our lifetime. There are several structures that I put together that actually work on an economic basis, based on macroeconomics and microeconomics, which allows for the people to receive equal amounts, basically, you know, not one person, all the people to receive equal amounts to the government. It does work with the proper production lines in place, and it does work for the governments economically. Is it going to take time? Yes. Is there going to be a global cooperation between governments, not a one world government, but a cooperative bilateral thing that has to take place? Well, of course. And if you look at the news every day, you'll see how far away we are from that happening. But there are some things that can take place, which I hope are coming up very soon here, that will allow for that process to begin. But it's a 5-10 year process in totality. I mean, it can't happen overnight.
Yeah.
Again, slamming the brakes on the car.
Yeah, I think people have to understand that. I know we're all tired and frustrated, but it's not going to happen overnight. It can't do, because you're talking about major changes to systems and society. So it has to take time.
Well, I gave the example of the IRS. You know, the IRS was deleted at midnight tonight, most of the country would be jumping up and down. But then all the accountants are suddenly out of work, all the people who work for the IRS and the spin-offs. So each aspect has to be done in a way. The same applies with the energy machines, if they ever come to fruition. You know, everyone can't have an energy machine tomorrow. Who goes first? Do we have the people to build them? Do we have the factories to build them? Do we have the staff to make them or deliver them? And it all has to be phased in. And so, like, currently we've got vast amounts of people working in the oil. Well, suddenly if you said, well, we're scrapping oil tomorrow because we don't need it, that's thousands and thousands of people without a job, and that then has a knock-on effect. And so things
and you crash
have to
the
be,
economy, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
so
it's
things
always
have to be phased in and phased out.
Yeah.
And that's why it takes time.
Exactly, exactly. And people have to remember this, that it will have a massive impact on society, and that's why it has to take time. And I know it's frustrating, but it's just the way it is, because it has to be done right. Steve?
Yeah, Paddy Brosnan on PIR has a question. He says, has Thomas and Kim heard of the Ubuntu movement? He says, Ubuntu works on everyone contributing to society, according to Michael Tellinger.
Yes, I've heard it. I tried to get Michael to come on, but I suspect he was warned off by other people in the community.
Okay, we've had Michael on our show a few years ago, and we know we met the last year on the Open Minds Conference. We met the Ubuntu people because they're over here in Ireland, and they've been gifted some land. And I think the idea was to donate 3 hours of your labour a week to help out on a community basis, and it sounded good. Now, if the Ubuntu guys are listening, please call us, because we wanted to do a show with them, but we never got around doing a show with them. We want to get them on and talk about it. So if you're listening, contact us, guys.
Yeah, in theory, it's a great idea. But until the clowns at the top are removed and the control system is collapsed, the idea of a cashless society is a very, very dangerous one.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is why they're wanting cryptocurrencies and all that. You know, I don't know whether you saw the last X-Files show.
No.
It pointed it out of how the technology, you had no cash, it was on a card. And basically the machine tells you when you run out of funds, or it can just delete it. And this is the idea of the digital. And while you have cash, you have control of your own life.
Yeah.
And you don't, they control you. Mm. And this is why they've been pushing to a cashless society, where at least 2 decades, maybe even 3 decades from a cashless society, because the people have got to gain trust of the system again. This is my opinion. We have to gain trust of the system again before we even attempt to go down a cashless society.
Yeah, no, definitely. That has to be, again, phased in gradually. Steve?
Yeah.
Okay. Where to next? Old Darby says, Thomas and Kim sound like they are on the same hymn sheet as Karen Hudes. And then the captain followed on. He said, she, I'm guessing it's Karen Hudes, has dropped off the map the last few years. Maybe it's because people were calling her out as a shill. Any thoughts on that?
Karen Hudes works for the World Bank when she said she wasn't. And I've still got the emails. Kim may know a bit more. I've still got the emails that where she was sending letters to prime ministers and presidents as a head of the World Bank. That was 4 years ago. So we exposed her 4 years ago. Well, it's 5 years ago now. And
her gentleman, Wolfgang, there is
Wolfgang
in the Philippines.
Yeah.
He's living in the Philippines. I have spoken to him. The difference between the eastern part of the order and the western part of the order, and he is aligned himself with the eastern part of the order, but it's still the same order, is the eastern side claims they're going to do wonderful things for humanity and oh, please just help us release our funds and oh, the bad bankers and all this stuff. And in actuality, that it's all a lie. And maybe the reason why she dropped off, because she figured it out, you know, she seems like a fairly intelligent woman. She probably figured out it's all a lie. They had access, okay? The Chinese elders, the Filipino elders, all these people were all trustees, and they all had codes, and they all had access to funds for an excess of 40 years. And what did they do then? And how are they going to be different now? The answer is they're not. So the whole game of the tomorrow game actually came from the East. It didn't come from the West.
Right. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I mean, Karen has been on the show a few years ago. But again, it's, you know, is it true? You know, can we prove it? You know, we have to ask the question. Steve.
Yeah, Joan is wondering, why do we need a cashless society and what benefit is it to us? Well, I don't think it's any benefit to us, John. Obviously, Kim and Thomas will have thoughts on that as well. But I don't believe it's of any benefit to us as humans to not have cash in our pockets, because obviously, if it's all going to be digital, then as I said, like, it can be turned off or it can be altered or changed or interfered with. But I mean, when you have if you have €10 or $10 in your pocket, well, that's what you've got. No one can make it worth any less, I suppose.
But the cashless society makes it a level playing field. It means the Rothschilds are on the same level of us.
Yeah.
That's the difference. The Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all these people don't like that, because at the moment the cash gives them and us approach, because they have the money and we don't. But if money was taken out of the system completely, then they'd be on the same level of us. But is that fair enough to say, Kim?
Not really.
No?
Well, you know, unfortunately, then that brings you back to, okay, who holds the credits, right? If you're talking about credits for work earned, right?
Yeah.
Then you can cash in your credits to buy things. You know, the whole reason why money was actually created in the first place, initially it was receipts. And you'd drop your gold off at the port in location number one, and you would get a receipt, and you would take that receipt to port number two where you arrived at with your goods and whatnot. And people were actually trading gold, but they were just doing it with a receipt because it became too difficult to carry all these chests of gold, so to speak, all over the place, right?
Mm.
And so then they created currency off of that. And the whole reason why people need it, it doesn't even matter if it's a big shiny bar or it's a, you know, a sparkly diamond or it's something else. We give these things value. But to a man in the desert, these things have no value, right? Water becomes the commodity at that point.
Yeah.
The whole reason for it is because people were arguing about my rice is better than your cow.
Yeah.
So if we could somehow, some way, you know, it, over years, period of time, to whereby, you know, we recognize the fact that the value of a cow is X and the value of rice is Y, and two cows equals two bags of rice or whatever that is determined to be, we don't actually need money anymore at all.
Yeah.
Cashless or otherwise. But, you know, they've created so much division for thousands of years amongst people, and people are agreeing to it. I mean, now we're using technologies. You know, my daughter, one time said to me, oh, well, I'm going to have a face over. I'm like, well, what the heck is a face over? And she's like, well, you know, instead of having my friend come over and spend the night, we're going to get on the phone and do FaceTime all night long. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I mean, we're just dividing society.
Yeah.
We're so far from being able to agree, you know, but, you know, then we have Bitcoin and now we have this something new thing that they're trying to come out with called oil credit coin or something like that. You know, who controls the computer system? He who controls the computer system that holds the credits, oil credits, bitcoins, whatever the heck it is, controls the currency. What's the difference?
Yeah. Well, it's like the person who the bank always wins a monopoly, and whoever controls the bank, you know.
Not no more, they don't.
Yeah. Well,
banks have lost.
Well, that's good news. Right, Steve.
This is one that came in from PIR. It says, the government is what's holding the people back. Shut down the TV stations and government and finance the community welfare and education to fix the problems that we have. I think we could probably all agree with that one, that, you know, it is the government and the likes of the TV that are causing and keeping us in the dark.
Not necessarily the government, no. The TV is. That's a propaganda mind control system that's messing with people's heads and distorting things so that then the people are subservient to others.
Anybody who's ever owned their own company is well aware of what's called branding and marketing. And the largest marketing organization on planet Earth is the Council on Foreign Relations. They are the ones that brand the boogeymen. They are the ones that brand the products. Johnson & Johnson. If you look on the who's on the board of the Council on Foreign Relations, you'll actually begin to understand how the media has become so distorted. They feed the people through the media exactly what they want. Okay, the Russians are the boogeyman this week. The Nicaraguans, the British are this. The Asians are that. And it's all an attempt to divide and conquer. If the people all come together, it will be impossible to conquer the people.
Exactly.
It's not just education is a big part of it. The shows you do are very important, but also people need to understand that, watching the television of life, right? Whether you're sitting in a subway or you're sitting in front of a television set, it's no different. What are you doing? And what are you going to do to make that change? Everybody has a capacity to make that change. But, there are groups of people that are leaders. There are groups of people that are followers. There are groups of people that like to be the shoeshine boy. But please, stop discounting that skill that you have.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of time banking. And time banking are people, obviously, that can give their time in whatever skill they want to use a community-based system. And that's something that I want to work on and get involved in and promote. And we've had a chap over here who's down in Cork helping to promote time banking down there. And it's a great way because it's all about energy and your time, and it's a credit. And again, I know what you say, the people who control the bank or control the credit. But if you're doing a community-based system that's transparent and it's a community, I'm not talking about a national-based system, just a local community where you have 60 or 70 people involved and there's a committee involved and it's all transparent. I know people are people, but, at the end of the day, you can develop a system that is manageable by a number of people that, can be controlled. And I think, we have to have some level of trust when you roll these projects out and hope that, it doesn't get abused, fingers crossed. But one area I want to touch base on before we go on to more questions, is the alternative media. Now, Thomas, you've been exposing and talking about people in the alternative media and saying that about the 75% probably are, I don't know what percentage it is now, that are either controlled opposition. And where do we stand with that at the moment? I'll put that to yourself, Thomas, first, and then Kim.
Well, over time, initially I outed certain ones. People can go online and spout opinion and BS all they like. If it's not part of an agenda, then I'm not really interested. There's certain ones that come out and make all kinds of lavish claims and fine, but it's when it becomes part of an agenda, when it's to do with children programs, when it's to do with RVs, which is then taking money off people under false pretenses, and people, that's when I have an issue. I had an issue with Karen Hughes because she was telling people lies. She told people that she'd left the World Bank, and yet she was still signing World Bank note paper a year after she allegedly left. So, and then you get other people calling you frauds, but it's only over time that people see, or validate what I had said. I got a lot of flack over the Corey Goods, but now people are starting to see through it. It's not something I particularly like doing, but it always appears like you're knocking out the competition, but I'm not in competition with anyone. We're all here to help each other. That's the main thing. But when you've got people, it's difficult enough in the alternative media. All of us have suffered at various stages of our life, depending on when we woke up. We're being chased down side streets forever to knock you off the path. You've got family members calling you nuts and all kinds. Mm. And the last thing, when I came and decided to get involved, is I had a lot of knowledge before I joined Cosmic Voice. The last thing I expected was the levels of influence and influx that the cabal and their agencies had. I thought this is something that, this is our field, but they have their fingers in every pie. And I was kind of shocked when I got to about 2013, 2014 at the depths of interference in the alternative media where they're sending you down that sideways path again. And it's easy to, you know, when people are struggling financially, the cabal or certain ones at Langley decide to throw stuff out on the internet, like St. Germain Trusts and Nasara and Jasara and all these things, and then people follow them for so long, and then they wait, and then they wait, and then they wait, and the RV's the same. They never came, and all it is a distraction taking you off your path. And that's what it boils down to. But people can talk bullshit all day for all I care. But when it becomes an agenda driven and pushing you towards a certain faction, then I have an issue and then I will speak out. You know, I could spend, I could have outed a load more. I'd rather not. You know, but it's always better for people to find out themselves. You know, over the last few years, people have kind of seen through the Blue Avian story. It's fell apart. But it wasn't as easy when I outed them 3 years ago. Mm. Okay. And it just takes time. But the alternative media, I'm thinking the ones that I said to you in when I did the first show with you, there won't be many left at the end. And that's what we're seeing. And I hope that somewhere along the line, the alternative media is recognised when we go forward with the truth, because the reality is it's us that drove this movement. We're the ones that says something's not right here, and they're not telling us the truth. I don't think any of us realised how far it would go. And we should be recognised, not just me, but all the ones, because it's all of the people, all the listeners of all thoughts. There's something not right here, and they should be recognised.
Okay.
And I think we will.
And Kim, what's your take on the alternative media from your side?
Well, you know, people that are starting to wake up to realise that something is wrong, you know, this is the first place they go. They start looking on the internet. They start looking for answers. I think in the beginning, when it first started out, I think everybody just thought, well, you know, I'm talking about the censors. They thought, oh, you know, all these people, this is just conspiracy. They're crazy. You know, they even make them out to be crazy there for a while. And, you know, and that's, then they realized, oh my God, these people really have something going here. There's now millions of them, right? And, you know, so they had to insert their, you know, then insert shill, you know, you know, to try to sway people into, I mean, think about it. I mean, there was a whole discussion for about a year on almost every single alternative media site, whether the earth was round or the earth was flat. Right. Now think about it. Right. You're not going to round it and you're not going to unflatten it. That's just not going to happen. So. Mm. But how does this affect your life and the lives of humanity, whether it's flat or round? The point is, it doesn't.
Hmm. Well, can I just say that we never touched on that subject, and we don't have one interview in the bag with anybody to talk about it, because I always say that to people. How does it affect your life? And if it doesn't affect your life or you can't do anything about it, then don't worry about it. What's the point in going down that program or going down that rabbit hole?
Okay. Exactly. Same thing with, you know, whether there's blue aliens or green aliens or gray aliens or whatever the heck, you know, does it matter? As soon as you run into one, is this going to prepare you for that meeting if there is such a thing? Right?
Yeah.
No. Mm. I mean, nothing anybody is saying on here is going to prepare you for that meeting if it actually happens.
Yeah.
Now, if they come in with their technology and superior whatever and attack planet Earth, we're done.
Mm.
You know, we don't have any of that. You know, I'm just saying that, you know, why don't we worry about the things we can actually achieve instead of the potential for something that may or may never come to pass because some guy or some lady said it on a internet program or even on mainstream media.
Yeah. Yeah. Deal with what you can deal with and don't worry about the rest. Yeah. Okay. We have a few more questions there, and we have about 10 minutes left.
We do. I'm not sure the relevance of this question, but it came up in the chat, so I said I'll ask it anyway. It's from Moon Girl on People's Internet Radio. She says, what are Kim's views on, I'm going to try and pronounce this, Tetragrammaton? Now, I didn't know what Tetragrammaton was, so I had to look it up. And it says it's the Hebrew name of God, transliterated in four Yahweh. Letters.
Yeah, Yahweh.
Yes.
I've never heard of it before. That definition. So, you want to answer, Tom, or do you want me to answer?
It's okay. It's Yahweh. It's another it's another one of the fake channel. These people were channeling and were saying speaking to good Pleiadians and all this stuff. A lot of it was to do with a program that the Greys developed along with the Draco, and they are channeling rogue entities. And Yahweh was one of the more common ones. And that's basically what it is.
Yeah, isn't Yahweh... technically, the Christ, or Ben Yosef, I guess, if it's Judaism, no?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's another one of the Hebrew line that I believe is a continuation of the Anunnaki / Draco.
Well, you know, I'll just make this very quick. Each one of these people, you know, whether you're talking about Muhammad or you're talking about... you know, Jesus, or you're talking about other prophets throughout our biblical history, each one of these people were trying to teach people the same exact thing. And that is, you can connect directly to that source energy, and all of the information you could possibly want is there. And all you have to know, all you have to do is figure out how to listen. And that's what every single one of them was doing. I know that half of Muhammad's transcripts were stolen. I know that for a fact. I know he had that information. I also know that, you know, who actually stole it. Because remember, back in those days when all these people were, you know, around, there's still people here to this day that are doing this every single day. But the people that they refer to in the biblical sense, or in the Torah, or in the Quran, or any of these things, they were all trying to teach everybody the same thing. Jesus was trying to do the same thing. He was saying, look, you don't have to go to the king to reach God. You don't have to talk to those people. Do it yourself. And that's what he was teaching his disciples and everybody else. That angered the people, because all the people went to the king to receive the word of God at the time. But, you know, and that was the big difference there. So I don't want to, we can talk about that for a long time, but that's my opinion. And it always will be my opinion. And I'm not guessing. And part of my training actually did come from a Jewish man, put that way.
Okay.
So I could understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's, we have, three questions. Let's quick fire them over there, Stephen. We try and get them done.
Okay, question from Joan on the OAM chat room. Joan says, Pentagon revealed as top funder of controversial gene editing technology. Do Thomas or Kim know anything of that?
You want me to take this one, Thomas?
Yes, you can.
Okay, you have the Pentagon, and then you have military... what you guys call like your secret space program people. And they did have an agreement with a group, and they were provided with a lot of different technologies and whatnot. Most of what they were provided with would have been like taking a fork to a knife, to a gunfight. But to answer your question, the program exists. This was the purpose of the Majestic 12. Was to have these communications with the other groups in order to achieve a dark agenda.
Okay. Steve?
Well,
Oh, Thomas, do you want to jump in and say something about that?
As time goes on, and the more we learn about it, the more those programs will cease to exist.
Okay. Yeah, because they
haven't gotten anything new since 2007, just so you know. They haven't been getting any information at all on how to do this since 2007. So everything they're doing now is all based on old data that's more than 11 years old. The other thing is that, you know, the source of the information is available to counteract this situation as well.
Okay, no problem. Yeah. Steve?
We have a question just in from Dave, and Dave is wondering, Kim, is there a process for local communities to request access to funds for community projects and humanitarian projects and avoid the government bureaucracy?
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't fund community projects through government. You know, the government has its budgets. It has its things that it needs to do. It needs to have a military to protect the people. It needs to have we need to have a certain Coast Guard, and, you know, we need to also have our agencies that keep us safe.
Government services.
We need to have all those things. These are government services, right? You know, you need to have police to a certain extent. You need to have roads, right? You want to drive on something, you need to have roads, you need to have all these things. And that's great. But if you're having a community program, as far as, you know, a community center or something like that, that's nonprofit, or an educational center or charter schools or all of these types of things, you know, it doesn't go through government. You know, one of my initial thought processes was to reinitiate, and, you know, if you're talking about the United States, was to reinitiate the state banks, where, you know, community programs could actually bank there, and then we wouldn't have these processes as far as going through government. But no, I never actually had an intention of talking to the government about community programs. I think these should be run by the people themselves in that community, who know that community better than anyone else. This is actually a project, just so you know, of the gentleman who mentioned, his name is Tank. His project is called Create Change, and Create Change is a project where they go into a community and they figure out what the community needs, and they do community revitalization with the local people actually doing the community revitalization. And so these are the people that are running around all these banks right now trying to get through to get the funding flowing for their specific communities. So it's a function of fixing the banks right now. Tank has a lot of support. But I would recommend that they contact Create Change. If you're in the United States, we need to establish these same types of programs in other areas of the world. We are working on some in some of the other Commonwealth countries, but we haven't done anything in the UK or Ireland just yet.
Okay, we literally have a few minutes left before we finish up. Now, is there any good or major announcements that you can say for Ireland that you might be know of or might be coming down the line?
From me?
You or Thomas, yeah.
I would tell you to keep an eye out for an announcement on the a global high-speed rail train.
Right, and that's is that tied to Ireland in some way?
Yeah.
It's a global high-speed rail.
Tied to everyone.
Right, okay. Okay.
You notice the U.S. is talking about it, Russia's talking about it, some of the African countries are talking about it. If you start looking in the news, it is not the Hyperloop. It is a different train. But keep an eye out for it. You will start hearing about it probably in the next, 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay, well, that'll be interesting. I don't know whether we have the money to do it, because we don't want $13 billion from Apple, apparently. So I don't know whether they'll probably tax us more and screw us again for more taxes over here.
No, it's coming out of trust.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's even better then. That's good stuff. Okay, well, listen, we've reached that time. We've actually extended the show. It's very, very rare for us to do that, but we knew there's going to be a lot of questions, and we knew people wanted to. There's so much more, many questions that we have to go down the road with. I think we're going to have to do a part two in a few months' time and play catch-up and see what has gone on in the next few months, because we know there's an awful lot going on, and it could be a different landscape in a few months' time. We never know.
I suspect it will be.
Brilliant. Well, obviously you have your show, so Thomas, you tell us. Well, I'm gonna pass you over to Steve. Steve does all that stuff. He's the expert in that. For myself, anyway, Thomas and Kim, thanks a lot for coming on OIM over here and helping us understand a bit of what's going on in Europe and what's going on in Ireland as well, because we have a lot of people who want to know what's going on in a positive way, and hopefully they can get some information from the show tonight, and hopefully if the politicians and everybody else are tuning in and listening, and they can see that, you know, times are changing, and if they don't pull their trousers up and start getting going straight and sorting themselves out, then there's going to be trouble in a lot of ways, by the sound of things anyway. But thanks a lot for coming on, Steve. I'll pass it over to you.
Pull their trousers up.
I could have said something worse, but
I don't know where you get them. Kim, it has been absolutely fantastic having you on. You've given us a lot of food for thought and a lot of straight answers as well, and we want to thank you for that. Obviously, Thomas is a regular on the show, and people know where to find Thomas: Truth, Honour and Integrity. Just throw it in there, you will find Thomas. But Kim, if people want to find out more about your end of the thing, do you have information on the internet where people can find it out, or is it just kind of through interviews where people can get to hear your words of wisdom?
Yeah, thus far I don't have a website or anything like that, and I've kind of stayed fairly quiet, until most recently. So I would say probably contact yourselves or Thomas or for those of you that follow Tank, contact Tank, and you know, we'll eventually start setting up at least some kind of methodology to get in touch. And I really don't have all the time to answer every individual email, and I would rather, you know, form little groups where we can pass information through.
Yeah.
Okay. And Thomas, I mean, obviously Truth, Honor and Integrity, and you are on, I believe it is on the Thursday. Actually, you know what? You can do your own PR, Thomas. Tell us when you're on. You know better than we do.
It's every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can find us on Spreaker at spreaker.com/user/895-5881, or the articles website thinkdifferentthepeoplesclub.org. So the archives of all the shows are on there, including some of the must listen to ones that for people who want to catch up with a lot of different intel.
Brilliant stuff. All right, Thomas, and we're not even going to a musical break, because we're going to just wrap things up. But just bear with us there for a minute, Thomas and Kim.
Yeah.
We're just going to just turn your Skype down here for a minute, but stay on air for us there for a minute. Let me just turn you down there. Thanks to Kim and Thomas for coming on. We had an extended show. We know there's a lot of questions there. The radio shows are probably the best way to actually put the information out there, rather than Kim and Thomas asking the individual questions through email. Doing one radio show, get all the questions answered, because a lot of the questions are asked over and over again, where new people waking up and asking the same questions. So the radio shows are a great way to get the information out there. Thomas does a great show every week, every Thursday. If you want to know more about the intel on what's going on, obviously have a listen to that, and then listen to what Thomas says and have a look at what's going on in the world. And ask yourself, does that resonate with you as well? Because Thomas will say the same thing, see if it resonates, if it works for you, or if it makes sense to you. But you need to do the research. Sometimes people only have a very small part of the cake, and they're making an opinion based on that. And there's a bigger picture there. It's a big jigsaw, this, and you need to look, step away, and look at the bigger picture. But a big thank you for Kim and Thomas for coming on. Now, next week we have a lady called Angela Gable, and she apparently is in touch with her son who passed over, who was in an accident and he died, But he's apparently on the new earth, and she's been in communication with him, or has been, not anymore, but she has been, and she's passing on some information regarding the new earth. Again, is it true or not? I don't know. We'll find out, but we'll speak to Angela next week and find out. Steve, do you have anything else you want to add before we close shop?
I do. I just want to say very quickly, I want to say thanks to everyone who joined us on both of the chat rooms tonight and obviously across the globe on all the different platforms that we are actually on. I want to say thanks to Steve Roberts on PIR, because he was actually up at 9 o'clock. We were going to kind of just hand him over the stream, but he said, no, run with the show, guys. So, Steve, thanks for that. And obviously everyone who was on both of the chat rooms who sent in questions, thanks for your participation. And a big shout out there, well, not so much a big shout, but just a mention to Joan. And Joan, our thoughts are with you this evening, and you know what I'm talking about.
Brilliant and stuff. That's it. So for myself, Alan James, take it easy, stay safe, and if you can do something positive, try and do it, try and help out, because we can make it a better world. Put the karma out there, folks, and let's try and change things. Take care. Bye-bye.